2 Kings chapter 18. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Hezekiah begins his reign in the south, right before the north is taken over by Assyria and taken into captivity. Verse 2. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. Hezekiah was good. One of the reasons the south lasted longer than the north is that they had several godly kings like Hezekiah who promoted the worship of the Lord God. Verse 4. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. And so Hezekiah began his reign by opening the holy temple and reestablishing the worship of God, and also by outlawing all forms of idolatry. Last part of verse 4. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. I don't know, you might recall the story. As Israel was traveling from Egypt to the Promised Land, they were attacked by deadly snakes. And they cried out to God for help. And so God told Moses to make a bronze snake on a pole. And God said, everyone who believes me and looks at that bronze snake will be healed. And they were. And so that was a very good thing. The image was established by God. But as time went on, the Israelites started to worship that image. So Hezekiah destroys it. The Bible does not teach that all images are sinful. It does teach that worshiping them is sinful. 5. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. And it was not popular to do some of the things that he did. It was not popular to outlaw the worship of anything other than God, but it was the right thing, so Hezekiah did it. He served God and trusted God for the consequences. 6. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. Hezekiah did not quit on God. He had faith, and it was real. And consequently, it caused him to obey God. And faith and obedience like that opened the door for God to bless. And you'll see in verse 7, the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. How liberating it is to fear the Lord God and serve him alone. It really is freeing. It brings joy, blessings, and courage too. Hezekiah was on God's side, so he told the king of Assyria, forget it. I'm not going to pay you tribute anymore. I'm not going to serve you. 8. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. Assyria was on a roll. They conquered the north and thought that they could take Judah also, but they could not because God was on Hezekiah's side. So instead of being conquered, Judah actually started to conquer the ungodly regions around them, like Edom. Verse 9. In King Hezekiah's fourth year, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, marched against Samaria and laid siege to it. The scene shifts now to the north in this flashback. Assyria, the mighty Assyrian Empire, laid siege against Israel. Did it for about 3 years. Meanwhile, Judah is kept safe by God because of Hezekiah's righteousness. 10. At the end of 3 years, the Assyrians took it. So Samaria was captured in Hezekiah's sixth year, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. The king of Assyria deported Israel to Assyria and settled them in Hala, in Gozan, on the Haber River, and in the towns of the Medes. This happened because they had not obeyed the Lord their God, but had violated his covenant, all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. They neither listened to the commands nor carried them out. And so Israel's trouble and their destruction was their own fault. They were not conquered because they were poor or weak militarily. They were conquered because they did not keep God's commandments. And worse, they did not care that they did not keep those commandments. 13. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Now, Assyria, you know, Israel hasn't been paying. Judah has not been paying the tribute. Assyria is a little ticked off. And so they're coming against some of the cities of Judah and actually taking some of them. 14. So Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent this message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. I have done wrong. Withdraw from me, and I will pay whatever you demand of me. The king of Assyria exacted from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And verse 15 says, so Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace. Hezekiah tells the king of Assyria, I haven't been paying the tribute money to you as I should have been. He says, I will start if you will back off. Now, Hezekiah is not sinning by doing this, but he certainly is being weak. Verse 16. At this time, Hezekiah, king of Judah, stripped off the gold with which he had covered the doors and doorposts of the temple of the Lord and gave it to the king of Assyria. You know, it's like playing Monopoly and landing on a square that has four hotels. Landing on Boardwalk has four hotels. You have to mortgage all your properties, spend all your cash just to stay in the game, just to stay alive. And Assyria is demanding so much wealth that Hezekiah had to remove the gold from the temple walls in order to pay it. 17. The king of Assyria sent his supreme commander, his chief officer, and his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. It came up to Jerusalem and stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. And so the armies of the king of Assyria approach Jerusalem with a message for King Hezekiah, verse 18. They called for the king, and Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to them. Hezekiah didn't go out to see these representatives of the armies of Assyria. Instead, he sent three of his top men. 19. The field commander said to them, tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you boasting this confidence of yours? And so this Assyrian doesn't even address Hezekiah as the king. He calls him by his first name. This would be insulting. And of course, that's exactly what he wanted to do. 20. You say you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Who's going to help you? Who is standing by you? You arrogantly, you don't pay your tribute to Assyria. Who do you think is going to help you? He's saying, you're talking tough. You're acting like a big shot, Hezekiah. What are you doing? Relying on some other country? Relying on Egypt or some other pitiful country to help you? 21. Look now. You are depending on Egypt. That splintered reed of a staff, which pierces a man's hand and wounds him if he leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. And if you say to me, we are depending on the Lord our God, isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before this altar in Jerusalem? The king of Assyria thinks he is a theologian all of a sudden. He thinks he knows what God likes and does not like. He says, you Israelites are wrong to trust in your God because he's angry at you. Don't you know that? Your king Hezekiah tore down all the shrines and all the high places, and now your God is angry. The king of Assyria and his representative here, they do not know what they're talking about. God was pleased that all those heathen shrines were destroyed. 23. Come now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. Boy, he's really mocking Hezekiah and Judah now. He's saying, I dare you to fight. He's saying, I'll even give you 200 horses to use in battle against me, but you can't even find 200 soldiers to put on them. 24. How can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you are depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Furthermore, he says in verse 25, furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this place without word from the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it. This Assyrian says, the Lord told me to attack you. The Lord told me to do it. Well, that's strange. Because the Lord said he would protect Israel if they stayed true to him, and they are. The king of Assyria doesn't even know the Lord. You know, just because someone says, the Lord told me, doesn't mean that the Lord told them. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that he didn't. Verse 26. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, said to the field commander, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, since we understand it. Don't speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of all the people on the wall. Hezekiah's men are afraid that the psychological warfare the Assyrians are using will cause the Israelites guarding the walls of the city to surrender. So they say, please speak in another, don't speak in Hebrew. Speak in Aramaic. 27. But the commander replied, was it only to your master and you that my master sent me to say these things, and not to the men sitting on the wall, who like you will have to eat their own filth and drink their own urine? I would say it was foolish for the representatives of Hezekiah to expect the Assyrians to back off on their intimidating words. What did they think? That they would really back down? Okay, we won't speak in Hebrew. We don't want to upset anybody. Well, of course, that's why they're there. They intensify their rhetoric even more now. 28. Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew. So they're still talking in Hebrew. Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you from my hand. And so the Assyrians are using propaganda to scare the Israelites into revolting against their king and surrendering to them. Don't listen to your leaders. You can't possibly win this war. 30. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord. when he says the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. And now the Assyrians are going way too far, because they're starting to insult God. 31. Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out to me. Then every one of you will eat from his own vine and fig tree and drink water from his own cistern until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life and not death. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says the Lord will deliver us. Now they're taking a different tactic to try to get the people from Israel to surrender. We're your friends, he says. We will not hurt you. We want to make you happy. We will be nice to you if you only surrender to us. 33. He says, do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says the Lord will deliver us. Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? The fool is comparing two things that do not match. The gods of the other nations could not protect them because they were not real. The Assyrians have insulted Almighty God by equating him with nothing gods. Soon the Assyrians will know the difference. 35. Who of all the gods of these countries has been able to save his land for me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand? God will show these Assyrians that it is a deadly mistake to compare him to some pathetic, made-up, nothing deity. They will find out. 36. But the people remained silent and said nothing in reply, because the king had commanded, do not answer him. See, the Israelites, some of them may have been intimidated, but not if they thought about it long enough. Because these Israelites knew God. They were not intimidated into surrendering, because they know their God is God. 37. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him what the field commander had said. When they tore clothes back in those days, it was a sign of grief. They were not tearing their clothes to say, we're in big trouble. They were not tearing their clothes to say, we're afraid. They tore their clothes as a sign of disgust that God Almighty had been blasphemed by these Assyrians. And we'll see what happens next time. Chapter 19, coming up next time. Until then, so long, everyone.